Please stand for the Holy Gospel.
What would it be like without technical difficulties, right? Today's Holy Gospel comes to us from the book of Matthew, chapter 25, and begins with verse 14. For it is as if a man going on a journey summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. I will enter into the joy of your master. And the one with the 2 talents also came forward, saying, Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents. And his master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, Master, I knew you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master replied, You wicked and lazy slave, you knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers. On my return, I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with the 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The Gospel of our Lord. Please be seated. Father God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, can you believe it? We have just a few weeks left of this church year. Advent is the beginning of the new church year, and Advent begins on December 3rd. As we've been moving through the end of this church year, our Gospels have been focusing on end times. We've been hearing about the expectations of how we are to live our lives here on earth so that we're ready when Jesus comes again. Last week, we heard Bobby's message on the parable of the 10 bridesmaids. Bobby explained the reason that Jesus used this parable was to teach us to prepare for that day when Jesus arrives to usher in a new Jerusalem. Like last week, today's gospel is another parable told by Jesus. Recall that a parable is an earthly story with a spiritual message. In today's gospel, Jesus tells the parable of the slaves entrusted with their master's talents. Talents is a large sum of money. 2 of the slaves doubled the talents, and they were praised by their master. But the 3rd slave was fearful of the master's wrath, and he buried the talent. He did nothing with the money that was given him. And the master was furious, and he took what the slave had, and he cast him out. Now, it's easy to hear this parable and believe that this message is that the more good works that you perform while you're here on earth, God is going to bless you and you'll be closer to the kingdom of God. But if you don't use your talents, you will be cast out. God is going to punish you. This, however, is not the gospel. The gospel, the good news, is that we are reconciled to God through faith. We are redeemed because Jesus took our sin away when he died on the cross and rose again. I see this parable as a call to faith. In the parable, Jesus is referencing when he returns at the end of the age. He is going to hold us all accountable, as the master held the slaves accountable for what their actions were with the talents that they were entrusted with. And talents in this parable represent faith. Now God, through the Holy Spirit, planted in us the seed of faith at our baptism. And through the years of growing in this faith, we have been given the means to continue to use our faith while we're here on earth. In Scripture, Jesus rewarded those who had complete faith in him. He proved this again and again in his ministries and his miracles. We all know the story of the hemorrhaging woman who, when she touched Jesus' robe, was healed. And Jesus' response to her was, "Your faith has made you well." When Jesus healed the woman in Canaan, he told her, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And Jesus healed the centurion's servant and said, "Truly I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith." So what really is faith? Paul tells the Corinthians to walk by faith and not by sight. But faith is not simply to believe without proof or to believe despite the evidence. Faith is complete trust and confidence in God. Complete trust and confidence in God is offered to us, and we are free to accept that. George Mueller was an evangelist who established orphanages in Bristol, England. And he was a philanthropist who made sure that Bibles got into the hands of the poor. He set off for the United States in August of 1877 aboard the ship Sardian. Off the coast of Newfoundland, the weather turned cold and the ship's progress was brought to a halt due to the fog. George Mueller appeared on the bridge. "Captain, I have come to tell you that I must be in Quebec by Saturday afternoon." "It is impossible," said the captain. "Very well," said Mueller. "If your ship cannot take me, God will find some other way. I have never broken an engagement in 52 years. Let us go down to the chart room and pray." The captain wondered what lunatic asylum this guy had come from. "Mr. Mueller," he said, "do you not know how dense the fog is?" His response, "No. My eye is not on the density of the fog, but on the living God who controls every circumstance in my life." Mueller then knelt down and prayed simply. When he had finished, the captain knelt down and he was also about to pray, but Mueller put a hand gently on his shoulder and told him not to. "First, you do not believe that he will. And second, I believe he already has. And there's no need whatsoever for you to pray about anything. Get up and open that door, and you will find that the fog is gone." The captain walked across, opened the door, and the fog had lifted. George Mueller lived a life of faith in action. And putting his faith in action every day helped grow the confidence that God would provide him everything he needed. And God did. Now that's the kind of faith I want. That's the kind of faith we all want, right? We all have some faith. Some people have more faith than others. But the person who has complete, unwavering, God is first, last, and always faith is rare. Why is it so hard to have complete faith? Could it be because we live a life of perceived reality based on what we can see and hear? We live in an uncertain world. War rages in Ukraine and in Israel and Palestine. Our country teeters on the edge of yet another government shutdown. Climate change, race relations, and discrimination are problems in this country. In our communities, we see gun violence, human trafficking, unemployment, poverty, and social inequality. In our personal lives, there's sickness, job loss, family drama. The list goes on and on. Just watch the news or check your social media. We have a front row seat to all of the worldly issues, and we have a real-time view into our messy world. When we don't put our faith into action, our perceived reality is that God is not in control, and God is not standing by our side every step of the way. The opposite action of faith is fear. Often, when faith and our culture collide, fear seizes us. And while fear was designed by God and it has a wonderful protective benefit for us, it can often lead us astray. Fear can cause us to shrink when our faith should swell. And faith is not merely false fearlessness, but intentional surrender to God's will, despite what we may feel. It is relying on the victory of Christ's cross rather than on our own strength. How we respond to fear has a direct impact on our spiritual walk. Fear turns our thoughts inward when we should be reaching outward into confidence and trust in God. Remember Peter in Matthew 14, when he was called by Jesus to come out of the boat and walk to him on the water. Peter confidently stepped out of the boat, and he was making his way toward Jesus. But then his focus shifted to the open seas and the depths beneath him, and he began to sink. Is this not also true of us? When we focus on everyday things that perpetuate fear, our feelings quickly follow. Peter cried out, "Lord, save me." And Jesus reached out his hand and raised Peter up. "You of little faith," Jesus said, "why did you doubt? Why did you doubt?" When God's people put their faith in action, when we have faith that God is with us, our faith overcomes fear. As I was working through this message over the past couple of weeks, the song that kept popping into my head is one of my favorites. The name of the song is "Battle Belongs" by Phil Wickham, if you know that one. But listen to the words of the song. And this just kept going over and over in my head. "When all I see is the battle, you see my victory. When all I see is the mountain, you see the mountain moved. And as I walk through the shadow, your love surrounds me. There's nothing to fear now, for I'm safe with you." Fear has no hold on us because Jesus took the cross for us. We just need to have and to continue to grow our faith. So how do we grow our faith? Where do we find the tools that we need to find our complete trust and confidence in God? We need to take actions. Make a decision. Choose to do something. Make a commitment. Compassionately act on our faith. And, of course, pray. First, make a decision to read and study Scripture, because it's in the study of Scripture that we learn who God is, and we learn how that nothing we can do can separate us from God's love. The stories of faith in Scripture are numerous. Here's a fun fact. Did you know that the phrase, "do not be afraid," can be found in the Bible 365 times? That's one story of faith over fear for every day of the year. Second, choose worship over worry. Whether we're together here at Spirit of Hope on Saturday night or on Sunday morning, or whether you worship when you're home alone, maybe in meditation, maybe reading devotions, maybe singing songs, hymns, our faith will get recharged. When we worship God, we take our eyes off of our fears and worries. When our eyes are no longer fixed on our fears and worries, we can clearly see God's hand at work on our behalf. Third, make a commitment to study others who have great faith. We're blessed in this congregation to have many friends to study. We have a person who puts her faith in action at Fry's Wine Bar. She befriends strangers and invites them to worship here at Spirit of Hope. I often ask her, "How do you find the words?" And her response is always, "God tells me what to say." We have another friend who, no matter what's happening in her life here on earth, severe illness, the loss of a child, pours out her worship and praise to God every day in every word and deed. These are just two examples of people that I study who have greater faith than I. And there are so many more. I'm sure you all have stories of people in your life who you can look to when it's time to grow your faith. Fifth, compassionately serve others and tell the story of what Jesus has done in your life. One of the consistent themes throughout the Gospels is the call for us to care for those in need and to share the good news that Jesus, of what Jesus has done for us. And at the end of his ministry trip with his disciples, he gathered his disciples around and he let them in on a secret. It was now their turn to go and heal the sick and share the good news of forgiveness of sins. He didn't just want them to have faith. He wanted them to help other people have faith too. God calls us to hone our faith by keeping our focus on serving others. God wants us to be like those first two slaves in our gospel lesson, boldly grow in our faith. Be like George Mueller. Keep your eyes not on the density of the fog, but on the living God who controls every circumstance in our lives. Don't be like the third slave and bury your faith. Yes, we live in a broken and a messy world, but God is in control. Someday we will stand before Jesus and he will ask us how we lived and grew our faith. Be able to boldly proclaim your faith in God. God loves us, and there is nothing on this earth that can separate us from that love. The proof is in the book. The proof is in the Bible, God's love story to us. Fear, you are not welcome here. Amen. We will now receive our tithes and offerings.
you stand as you're able for the offertory prayer. God of all goodness, generations have turned to you, gathered around your table, and shared your abundant blessings. Number us among them that, as we gather these gifts of your abundance and give thanks for your rich blessings, we may feast upon your very self and care for all that you have made. Through Jesus Christ, our sovereign and servant. Amen. Please be seated. Let us turn our hearts to God and let us turn our hearts to God and our breath of and life. Oh my goodness. As we pray for the church, the world, and all those in need. Gracious God, you give talents and gifts to all your people, and you equip the church to serve. Turn us from fear and self-serving ways, that we may use our talents to glorify you and encourage our neighbor. Lord, in your mercy. You have been our dwelling place from one generation to another. Sustain the life of the planet. Protect farmlands and harvests. Direct all people in wise stewardship of all the earth's resources. Lord, in your mercy. You call us to honesty and integrity. Instill these values in our hearts of all nations and their leaders. Free any who are oppressed, expose all corruption, and bring redemption to victims of injustice. Lord, in your mercy. You teach us to count our days so that we may gain a wise heart. Where there is sickness or sorrow, bring healing. And where there is loneliness, reveal your love in community. We remember before you Addie, Marcia, Jeff, and Peg. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for the faith formation ministries of our church. Give to all children, youth, and adults who study your word the breastplate of faith and love. Shape us by your love and show us how to encourage one another. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious God, you are faithful in all generations. For the promise of life and rest, and for the witness of those who have died in faith, we praise your goodness. Lord, in your mercy. We offer our spoken prayers and those held in our hearts, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Please stand and let us confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Let us share the peace.
You know, I don't know why you're... Whoa! I don't know why you just sat down. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The body of Christ given for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. The congregation may be seated. Now may the body and blood of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, strengthen you and keep you in his love, joy, peace, and grace, now and forever. Amen.
Let us pray together. Lord Jesus, and give us glad and generous hearts as we meet you on the way. Amen. Now may the God of all creation, in whose image we are made, who claims us and calls us beloved, who strengthens us for service, give you reason to rejoice and be glad. The blessing of God, sovereign Savior and Spirit, be with you today and always. Amen. Let us sing our final song.
I want to walk as a child of the light. I want to follow Jesus.
Grow in faith and serve the Lord.